History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. What we've learned is that they don't have to go untold, as long as we're willing to take a little initiative, ask a few questions, and maybe, most importantly, listen. Listen intently, listen patiently, and listen with the goal of trying to understand what it must have been like to endure situations you and I might never have to. Our goal here is to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And in that process, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we end up inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. It is the first weekend in October. Fall has officially arrived, but I imagine unless you're closely connected to the Filipino community, you probably don't realize that October is Filipino American History Month. The reason why goes way back to the 16th century and the first recorded visit of Filipinos to North America at what is now Morro Bay on California's central coast. Sail a little further up that coastline and under the Golden Gate Bridge, and you might end up in Alameda, where the USS Hornet Museum has a special exhibit this month on Filipino-American history, some significant chapters of which were written during World War II. We're going to explore some of that today through first-person accounts of Filipino-American veterans who served in World War II. And of course, the reality is that American outposts in the Philippines were struck at virtually the same time that Pearl Harbor was nearly 81 years ago. December 7th in Hawaii was December 8th on the other side of the international dateline. We're going to hear memories today from two men who would eventually immigrate to America after their World War II military service and after escaping the fate so many suffered on the Bataan Death March. First, let's listen to Cipriano Ginto, who joined the U.S. Army's Philippine Scouts in 1938.
December 8, 1941. I was an active military in the infantry division, the 57th Infantry. The 57th Infantry, they are one of the foremost infantry, brave infantry, to fight in the firing line against the invasion of the Japanese. The Japanese invaded the Philippines. Both East and West, we encountered the East invasion. That's Mauban, Quezon, the province of Philippines in Quezon, along the coast. We beat them. We encountered them just to delay their advancement to the Philippines, to the mainland, to give time for other forces to go to Bataan, where we are all assembled in Bataan fighting the Japanese military. We are under General Douglas MacArthur. I think it is in my blood. I follow the footsteps of my father. My father has been in the U.S. Army before. I just follow his footsteps. It is a privilege to serve and defend my country. That is the reason why I enlisted the military. To defend the freedom of my country. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity to serve. I am proud of that. I thank God about that for giving me the opportunity, the privilege to defend the freedom of my people. That is my intention in serving my country. During that war in Bataan, I was assigned in the first aid medical station. They was assigned to be a litter bearer to get all our, to collect all our casualties in the firing line. We used the litter to collect all those injured, all those casualties. It's really hard. Most of our caregivers there were shot, you know, were killed. And I'm thankful that I survived and to collect the casualties of our troops. Yeah, so we have our doctors, we are nurses behind the battlefield where we collect all the casualties And they were given the first aid treatment there. So I'm proud to save their lives. We were pushed to the Bataan Peninsula. All military, U.S. Army, everything, they are all in Bataan. Until the time we, from January to April, fierce fighting. So we have a lot of casualties, and the Japanese have a lot of casualties too. But unfortunately, we were, you know, under. We have no more airplanes. We have no more bombs. Japanese have that. So we were forced to surrender April 1942. And then all the soldiers were taken prisoners. That is the time when they started the death march from Bataan to Camp O'Donnell. It's about 30 miles walk. That is the death march. Thousands and thousands of Filipinos and Americans walked through that death march. But in my case, we, our commander, Captain Jackson, told us, you are here from the Philippines. If you can, if you have time to escape from the death march, you can do it. So I formed my group. I was in charge of that group. And then I told them, let us go and escape, live or die among our members of my group. I formed that group to escape the death march. So we escaped the mountains for weeks. We escaped the death march. Thank God that we were able to survive that escape in the mountains until we reached the down the ocean, until we hired those people across Manila Bay. And then we went home peacefully in our home provinces, in our respective places. The boat took us around 4 hours to cross Manila Bay to our places. Thank God that we survived the Manila Bay escape.
Well, it sounds like there are a lot of moments where it could have been the end for you, where you could have been killed, including the march. Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever think, what would have happened to me if I had stayed on the march and marched all the way to Camp O'Donnell?
Oh, if I would be there? Oh, I think I'm sure I will not survive. I will die of diseases like dysentery, malaria. Oh, my God. Well, lots of soldiers died in there. I think if I were among them, I will die there. I have no chance. I'm already weak during the escape. How much more if I joined the death march? I think I can no longer endure that. Yeah, I will die. A lot of my friends, my relatives who were concentrated, they all die in the concentration camp. So I'm glad. I thank God for surviving those.
Take us back there again, April of 1942. If they find you, you're a dead man, but you have this group of 8 Philippine scouts, now dressed as civilians, trying to avoid capture and make it back to your families. But you're separated from the coastline by this very road on which thousands of Americans and Filipinos are going to meet their demise. You're watching the Bataan Death March unfold, but you're unarmed, helpless to do anything about it. You're also starving and weak and waiting for an opportunity. I don't think any of us can fully grasp what that experience must have been like. But can you take us back there and try to put us in your footsteps?
We waited till the march ended. When the march, at the end of the march, then we tried to escape to the ocean. We crossed the street where the march was by.
Yeah.
We crossed that street at the end of the march. When we see that it's already clear, and no more Japanese soldiers there, one by one, run from the mountain to the ocean, one by one. We don't run all together. We are eight. You go. I said, you go. Then they run up to the ocean. No soldier. Then I watch carefully whether there are some Japanese soldiers, you know. Then I told them, oh, you next, run. One by one, until I was the last one to run, to meet them, and this is your. So that's the way we escape.
I'm just imagining myself in your shoes. If I were there, I would have been pretty nervous or pretty scared running across that road. You've seen all your friends make it, but you're the last one. Was that a scary feeling to go out there and make that run? Were you nervous or scared or looking around everywhere?
Oh, yes, of course we are scared. You know, we are nervous. We are all sick, very weak. You know, 1 week escaping, we are so weak, you know. Yeah, I thought I cannot survive this moment. Lots of Filipinos, my relatives, my friends, yeah, who have died during those days. Up to now, they are still in my heart. My cousins, my uncles, all my friends, they died in the concentration camp. Up to now, they are in my mind, you know. I worried about that. At night, sometimes I think of them.
So that was Cipriano Ginto, who would go on to become a dentist, come to America, and put all 8 of his children through college. Adelano David would end up working with journalists like Edward R. Murrow and Mike Wallace, but as a teenager, he ended up in USAFE, U.S. Armed Forces of the Far East, joining just months before war came to the Philippines.
I was 19, and a few months before, which was July, August, I enlisted July, MacArthur, we had a general gathering of all the ROTC students of Manila. I would say that we had 4 Ivy League universities with elite ROTCs. I was part of the model company of UST. We were ordered to go to the Rizal Memorial Stadium, which is like a football arena here, to listen to President Quezon, who warned us about the invasion. And he talked about it, and MacArthur came over. And he closed his remarks by saying, some of you will return to their loved ones covered with glory, but some of you will never return. And that was July 4th, 1941.
So while so many people in America were surprised by what happened, you knew something was coming, and you had already been preparing for what was going to happen, huh?
As a matter of fact, it's funny, I wrote a story in July, and I enlisted August. I wrote a story about a soldier dying, and it became the best story of the year in the colleges.
You had an inkling. You were ahead of your time with all that. And then, as folks may know, not long after Pearl Harbor was bombed, Clark Field was hit as well. But you guys, as you said, are being transported to Bataan. Were you starting to get a little nervous? Were you concerned about what was happening here?
At first, I took it for granted because as a boy, I always welcome adventure. And for me, to join the army was not from any patriotism or what. I just wanted the adventure. So when I was in the army, I enjoyed the training, and I was training my men. I was a sergeant. And to me, it was like another Boy Scout trip to me because I enjoyed the outdoors and being with boys my age.
When did that change? When did you realize that this time it's not a Boy Scout trip?
When we were ordered from Bataan to meet the Japanese transport in Subic Bay, I was in charge of a F platoon, and I was ordered to take the front trench on the beach. It was the break of dawn when we saw on the horizon Japanese troops, carriers and destroyers. Suddenly, as the sun came out, 6 planes in waves of 3 began to bomb our place. And I think they were harassed by cannons from Fort Wint and Fort Maribelis. And they could not aim straight. So their bombs fell about 20 yards from my trench, and I just got covered with sand and water. Anyway, to cut a long story short, it lasted about 6 hours. We drove them away, and a thunderous cheer came from our regiment, 33rd Infantry, 31st Division, USAFE. A thunderous cheer came out from everybody because they went away. In the meantime, I had not realized that I was shaking with fear. I could not control my jaw from clacking. I could not control my knees from jumping up and down. And suddenly I found out that I thought I was hit. My leggings were wet, and I was going to call for a medic, but luckily I didn't, because I found out it was not blood. I had wet my pants. Wow. Yeah. But anyway, that was December 12.
The cheers were because they went away, but things would change from there, and you guys would end up in a dire situation. What was the toughest thing that you encountered over the weeks that followed? Because I've heard stories from guys who talk about not having any supplies, not having anything to eat. The weapons they had were not up to date. They had no ammunition. And this was all before the death march started. How desperate did the situation get for you?
Well, it got desperate when, after repulsing several attempts for them to get our area, we were starving for at least 2 or 3 days. Not enough water, and sometimes just a bowl of rice. But even that was not coming because of combat. Whenever there was an engagement where Filipinos died by the hundreds, we were never given credit. It was always MacArthur. Of course, to give credit to MacArthur, he never gave credit to his American men either.
What about you personally? Did you feel discrimination, or were the guys you served with treating you the same as anyone else?
I was treated very well because I was a university graduate. So probably there's a difference. But actually, there was no discrimination in my company. As a matter of fact, a Texas lieutenant died for me because I was going on patrol one day, but because the previous day I was on patrol, he said, "Never mind, I'll take this patrol." He was supposed to return after 2 or 3 days patrolling, looking for snipers. He never returned, so we found his body in the sugarcane field a week later.
Well, how could you ever forget the man who died in your place? And Atilano David never would. It's time for our first break, but when we come back, how he escaped the Bataan Death March, Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.